wherever you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again. It is time for Cultured Karaite on truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org. I'm Jono, and joining me is the Cultured Karaite and Khani. G'day, girls.
Hello.
G'day.
Hello. Wonderful to have you. I'm very well. We've both had, well, I don't know if Khani's had, but I've just had a big glass of kefir. Have you finished yours?
I have. I've finished it.
There you go.
It was very yummy. Thank you.
It's the next day in Australia, so I had mine this morning, and so it's nighttime here, so I'll have a little bit before I go to sleep.
But excellent.
Wake up in the morning and have it again. I love it.
you can't have enough. And now, while we're talking about it, I just want to quickly mention, because the last time you and I spoke, we spoke with Dr. Mark, and Dr. Mark blew my mind when he told me, and I'm going to, you know, say this again, because it was just, I'm not kidding, Deb. I had no idea. Absolutely blew my mind. If people haven't heard that one, it's the previous Cultured Karaite discussion, and with Dr. Mark, he revealed to us that our bodies are, well, our human cells are outnumbered by the bacterial cells in our body 10 to 1.
Amen. That's right.
And that absolutely blew my mind. And just the other day, when I sat down in front of the computer and I had a nice big glass of kefir, and I came across this article, which I did put on the Cultured Karaite Facebook group. I don't know if you saw it, Deb, but it came...
I did
see it. Okay, so Scientific American is the magazine, the E magazine. And it says, humans carry more bacterial cells than human ones. And it does go on to absolutely, it says here, all the bacteria living inside you would fill a half-gallon jug. There are 10 times more bacterial cells in your body than human cells, according to Caroline Boach, I think her name is, a microbiologist at the University of Ohio. And it goes on to detail those facts, and it is just mind-blowing. And of course, since those facts came to light, I've looked at kefir not as a just a sort of a healthy beverage from time to time, my banana berry smoothie that I like so much, but now I look at it as an absolute necessity. I had absolutely no idea how much bacteria was in my body, and I had no idea how much good bacteria communicates with our human cells. Or bacteria in general communicate with our human cells. Therefore, why wouldn't we go all out to make sure that it is the good bacteria that we have in our body that does so?
Absolutely. Mm. Oh, my goodness, absolutely. I mean, you certainly want to make sure that the good outweighs the bad. We tell the way we explain it to our grandson is that you want to have good soldiers. You know, have lots of good soldiers in here.
That's a really good way of putting it. That's a really good way of putting it. You want, because if you don't have the good soldiers, it's not as if you're going to deplete your body of bacterial cells. If you don't have the good soldiers, you're going to have bad ones.
Yeah. Oh, Jono, I got to ask you a question, and she's going to really wonder why I'm asking you this question. But I'm going to ask you anyway. Jono, how are your heels?
Oh, I know
exactly why you're asking that question.
Do you know? Okay, so I haven't done the experiment because we had all this excess kefir, and now we don't. We've actually used it all. We've been drinking it, and I was speculating that I was going to soak my feet in some kefir, and I was kind of looking forward to that. It kind of sounded cool. But I haven't had the opportunity to do it. And having said that, and it has been in the back of my mind, but we've just been using up all the kefir. But my heels have, for some reason, improved. Now, I don't know if that's because I've returned. I am now drinking more kefir than I was. Maybe that's why. I honestly don't know. But they have. My heels have improved. But what I said last time was that the weather's been so dry and it's been so hot and I've been getting around in my flip-flops.
What are you, an American?
Yeah, well, I have to say flip-flops because if I say I'm getting around in my thongs, everyone thinks I'm walking around in a G-string.
Yeah, but they also know that you're Australian, and this is what they say.
But, I mean, if I said that, Dev, do people put two and two together?
Said thong, maybe.
but plural. But I got to be honest with you, I'm older, and we did used to call them thongs. So, you know, it flip-flop is actually a newer phrase in the last, 10, 20 years.
Ah, okay. Well, let's not confuse the kiddies. So, walking around in my flip-flops. And I don't know. They were getting really, at one time I thought I'm going to have to walk down the street with a bell ringing it going, unclean, unclean. But...
They weren't that bad. I wouldn't let you.
No, as it is, a couple of weeks passed, and it seems like it's getting better. I'm going to keep an eye on that. So I haven't done that experiment yet. Now, another experiment that we did talk about with Nehemia recently, you and I, Deb, is that he's been having kefir, though the milk quality in China is not as good as certainly not raw milk, anyhow. And he's been having it with powdered peanut butter.
Yeah, now that sounds good. You know, Jonah, we should have asked him, and I feel bad about it now. We should have asked him, why couldn't he have gotten a hold of some yak milk? They got yaks over there.
That's true, and that is kosher, right? And you can have that. It's clean.
I believe a yak is. I'm not positive, but I think they are.
Initially it doesn't sound overly appetizing, but, I think I think that yak milk – now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that it is yak milk, which is the secret ingredient of mozzarella cheese.
Really?
Oh, I
don't know about that.
I don't – or maybe – you know what? You know what it might be? It might be an enzyme from the yak's stomach.
Ew.
Ooh.
Well, it just gets worse and worse. No, yak is a bovine.
Yak is bovine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's totally clean. You can do well. Contact him. He'll be there for another week or so. Let's see if we can have some yak milk.
Go and find a yak and milk it.
Go and find a yak and milk it, Nehemia, and put your kefir in there, and then put your cream, your powdered peanut butter. There we go. There's another experiment.
So he has got kefir over there. He's got the grains.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think the cultured curry? I would let him go to China without kefir.
It wasn't me. Our wonderful friend Leo, mutual friend of ours, that Zev and I actually haven't seen since 2009. He's over there teaching English since I guess somewhere about 2010. He went over there, and I think he actually had some. And I don't know what happened, but then somebody sent him some more. He's been drinking kefir for years, for at least 3 years.
Oh, wow. Isn't that fantastic? Yep. So he's given some to Nehemia.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's a wonderful thing.
And my understanding is that you've just sent some over to Ireland. People are wanting kefir all over the world.
Isn't it exciting? I sent some to Israel, a week or two ago. Everybody knows Deb Burnett. If you're on Facebook, you know Deb. Mm. She needed some more kefir grains, so I sent her some. And we're just getting everybody fixed up.
Yeah, excellent. Good to hear. Yeah. Well, that's the latest. So
there you go,
Jono.
So you'll be right for kefir when you're in Israel in a few weeks.
Yeah, I will, and I'll be looking forward to it. I don't know that I can – I crave it because, just before, I'm like, we only got a little bit of milk. We've got to go to the dairy because we get our milk raw straight from the dairy. And we were just running out, and I thought, what can I do? We don't have much. Oh, we got some kefir. I'll get the kefir. We got a little bit of milk there. We got some yogurt there as well. So I just had a super probiotic berry banana smoothie, and I feel much better for it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I don't even know. What are we talking about today, Dev?
Well, I'm gonna see if y'all can guess. I actually have a wonderful quote in honor of Hani and her new Greek skills, language.
Yeah.
I have a quote. Sweet. And I'm going to see if by this quote, if possibly you can guess what we're going to talk about. And this is, I'll probably pronounce his name wrong. Epictetus. Epictetus was a Greek guy. And he said, people are disturbed not by a thing, but by their perception of a thing.
Ooh, people are not disturbed by a thing, but by their perception of a thing. The first thing that comes to mind, is like a spider in the house. It may be a perfectly, harmless spider, but it doesn't matter what kind of spider it is. The perception of the spider has the potential to send some people into absolute frenzies.
That's true. Right.
Well, didn't you have a perception of something this morning on the telephone?
Oh.
Before you even dialed the number? You had a perception of a thing.
Yeah.
Boy, and then you went on to get disturbed.
Yeah.
but that's based on prior experience.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that is based on prior. Okay, just to bring the listeners up to speed, I had to so we've been doing things with the website, the Truth to Your Website, and one of those things that we realize is a necessity is our well, a necessity to increase our download ability and a few other things as well. So I had to talk to the telephone company, the supplier, which I've done before, and it always results in, you know, great wailing and gnashing of teeth, Deb. And sure enough, you know, I rang, I tried to get the information. The salesperson didn't know the answer to the information, got angry at me because I was asking them questions about information on the website that they didn't have answers to, and so they terminated the call. And that was... But then it was followed by another phone call to another department, and I got someone who knew everything, which made me so happy.
Well, would you say that you experienced some stress?
Oh, yeah. I did experience some stress. I experienced major stress.
Me too.
Yes. We all stress together.
Let's open up the can of worms called stress. What do you think?
Ooh. Oh.
It's a reaction.
It's a 55-barrel drum of deep, worms here.
Deep breath. Breathe deep. Stress. Go on, Deb. Tell us about it.
You know, I've got some stuff in the Tanakh I want us to look at, and I did a little. One of the things I wanted to know was, does stress really hurt your body? And I found out that it really does.
It does.
It does. It will hurt your body. And, you know, I got to thinking about and reading, you know, in the Tanakh. You know, I'm the way I even came to this whole ancient path thing in the first place, and I've said this before, I won't belabor it, but I got to thinking, what was Mrs. Joshua's day-to-day life like? Mm-hmm. What did she got up in the morning? The kids are hungry. You know, Joshua's got to go do whatever he does. He's hungry. You know, what was day to day life like for them? Mm-hmm. And and you know, in that, and in the situation I've been in, a stressful situation. I know that they had stress. I'm not diminishing that, but sure. I just had to wonder if it's some of the stress that I've had to go through. And I'm thinking today that stress is worse in our lives today. I think it's. I'm not saying they didn't have it, but I think we have it worse today.
I think you're right, because there are things that we subject ourselves to, like the telephone company, that obviously Mr. and Mrs. Joshua Bin Nun did not have to deal with, and but we have to we subject ourselves to things that I don't know, that just aren't really kind of natural in our life, that certainly do increase our stress levels. Of course, there's some kinds of stresses that are good, that challenge us, that drive us, that motivate us. There's some kind of stresses that just are clearly unhealthy, that really demotivate us and cause frustration and so forth.
We probably have more day-to-day stresses, wouldn't you say, Dev? I mean, I'm sure that there were stresses such as, you know, the possibility of war lingering, or the possibility of raids and things like that happening mm-hmm. from neighboring tribes and things mm-hmm. like that. But just general day-to-day stuff, our lives are probably full of situations that could cause internal stress, like sitting in traffic and, you know, just all that sort of stuff. And you know, the people going to jobs that they hate and school.
Oh, you know what? When I think about stress in my life, when I go back through the history of my life, school had to be number one, I think, probably number one.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. It's huge. Well, and bills, you know, you get bills, to be an adult.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, those things. And I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but and I don't go that many places, and I don't on purpose, but like going to the mall and going here and going there,
yeah.
There's always music. There's, you know, here's the crowd. You can't hear yourself think because of the crowd. And there's always music. And it's like, I can't stand this.
Oh, Dev, you know, and particularly we've just passed December, of course, and when you go to the mall, to the supermarket, and they've got the Christmas music. I mean, it's not enough that they put on music that you just don't like, but Christmas music is I mean, surely they use that in Guantanamo Bay as some kind of, you know, torture implement by which they make people talk. I can't stand it. I can't be there for too long, and it causes me incredible stress.
And then there's the kid that pulls up next to you at the stoplight, and you can feel his music in your belly.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, it's the... boop, boop, boop. And you can feel it. It's not just hearing it. It's like you're shaking on the inside, and it's that's not right. That's just not right.
Not helpful.
Oh, and the other thing, like television, like people that we don't have commercial television on in our house, but I know people that just have the television on all the time. And so it's just constantly in the background. And it's not so much the shows necessarily, it's all the advertising and all the
It's the sound of it. Like you know, when I go to people's houses, I mean, we don't have the television. We choose when we watch some, maybe a DVD or whatever. We don't
have commercial television.
No. And but you know, when you go to someone's house when they've got it on all the time, and there's just that constant sound, that relentless noise of like this barrage of of advertising and whatnot, it really starts to make me That's one of the things that really get me stressed after a while.
Okay, so now that we've whinged about all the things that stress us.
Well,
hang on. Whinge is an Australian word, isn't it, Dev?
It is. I don't even know what it means.
Yep. No.
I was just going to be real polite and just pass right off that.
Okay, so a whinge, I think it's the same as a whine. Although here when we have a whine, it's all good. But if you're whining, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
We've all complained
about our stress levels. Okay.
Well, you know, all the smart doctors out there, they have classified stress today as in four major classifications. And of course, the one that we actually probably are not really familiar with today, which, you know, I'm thankful for it, is the acute stress, which is the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. But I know that Hani is familiar with that because I'm sure she's taught that in her martial arts programs. And we know, we understand, as you know, as adults and everything, we understand what fight or flight is.
Oh, tell me about it, Deb. I live in a house where they all have done karate and I haven't done it. I have to sort of hide in the corners and, you know.
You know the fight or flight.
Yeah, constantly living in fear of my life.
Well, and there's also chronic stress. And I think, especially for me, I know that I went through this. And it wasn't until I stopped working last July and began to heal and actually realized, you know, that things were changing in my body. I knew I was stressed at times, but I didn't realize that I was under chronic stress. And I was. And I actually, you know, Facebooked with a lady for a little bit who had the chronic stress, and she actually damaged her adrenal glands, and she was telling me how long and hard it's been for her to heal, and it's awful, and I think that a lot of people the chronic stress, they push it down, they ignore it, and it does a lot more damage than you really think it does. This is really the stress that does the damage. And I know that I didn't realize how bad off I was until I quit. You know, we've talked about unjobbing, and I like the idea of no job, but sure. It's not feasible. Unfortunately, and you know, I do like to buy milk, you know, for my kefir, but
yeah.
One of the other stresses of the four stresses is actually distress. And distress are, thank goodness, distress doesn't happen all the time. These are daily life things that have negative connotations, but they're things that don't happen on a daily basis. They're things like divorce, punishment, injury, like a car wreck or just some kind of injury, negative feelings, financial problems, work difficulties. Those are things that, you know, thank goodness they don't happen on a chronic basis, on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And there's a fourth stress, and I'm going to get Hani to help us out here because this is a coined word. I believe it was coined in maybe the early 19th century. I'm not sure. And it uses a Greek prefix to the word stress, and it's EU. I guess eustress.
Well, I guess that's epsilon upsilon, isn't it?
Yeah, it can.
Eustress. The guy coined it because he said in in Greek, EU means well or good. So eustress would be eustress with a positive connotation, and that would be marriage, promotion, having a baby, winning money, meeting new friends, graduation. So, you know, I got thinking about some of this, and I wanted to, if we could, read, and people may think that I'm crazy when you first read this, but I think we can quickly see some things in this. If we could read Leviticus 26, chapter 26, verses 1 through 13.
Mm-hmm. Just before you do, I just looked up my Greek dictionary, and you're right. It does. It does mean well.
It means well.
So you put it before a word. So
and it's pronounced it's a diphthong, right? It's a U.
No, it's not a diphthong. It's a word. Ooh. So it has a circumflex on it. So it's oo. So you would put it before a word that you wanted to. So poieo is to do good. So it's to treat well. So if you say ooh poieo, then you treat something well or you're doing good.
So oostress. Ooh, it's a oo sound.
Yeah.
Stress. Oostress is good stress, right?
Oostress is good stress.
Hmm? Yeah.
Hmm. Leviticus 26 from 1 to...
Through 13.
You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither carved images, nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Jehovah your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Jehovah. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you the rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. Your threshing floor shall... your threshing shall last till the time of the vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down. None will make you afraid. None will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. And that's so funny. I've got a little note here on the side of my just in the margin of my Bible here, and this is from when we were doing Torah pills. And here, next to evil beasts, I've written bunyips and drop bears. That's some of the evil beasts that we have here in Australia, but they're mythical. Okay, so evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out. It says you shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I shall set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands, it says, of your yoke, and have made you walk upright.
Woohoo! Hallelujah!
How good is that?
Hallelujah! Wow!
That sounds like a very unstressful situation to be in.
Unlike it.
Well, but I see stress in here. But okay. I see eustress in here. Right. Let's look at verse 5. They are threshing until the grapes are ripe. They're mashing grapes until it's time to plant. I mean, they have got so much good going on here that they're busy.
They're busy. They're trying to meet deadlines, and they're trying to get the quotas done.
Woo!
And
they're doing
that. That's a good point that you make. And of course, when you said you see stress in here, I also thought, verse 7, you will chase your enemy. You know, and I mean, that's There's good stress there.
But they prevail. I mean, I was blown away by this when, you know, to me it jumped, and I got to thank Linda Wells for this chapter. She called me and we were talking about it, and I was like, wow, you know, looky here, you know, this is some good stress right here. You're eating the old store, and you got to hurry up and eat it because the news coming in. I mean, this is really exciting. You know, good stress here. They're busy. They're planning their heart. Now, you know, and that's tiring. You know, but there's a difference of being tired, good, and even good tired. You know, and stress. And I think these are great examples of eustress. Can we read 14 through 39?
Ooh, it says but.
Yeah.
But if you do not obey me and do not observe all of these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume your eyes and cause sorrow in of your heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated before your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. And your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield its fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if these things... you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemies. And when I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all of this, if you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. Ooh. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and your... Oh, my goodness.
Ugh.
And eat the flesh of your daughters. I will also destroy your high places. I will cut down your incense altars. I will cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to destruction, and your enemy who has dwelt in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations, and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. And then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, you are in your enemy's land, then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest for the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. As for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into the hearts and into the lands of the enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from the sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another, as it were, before a sword, when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and those of you who are left shall waste away in the iniquity of your lands, also in their father's iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
And I appreciate you reading all of that. Did you? I know you noticed that I will do all these things, but if you don't listen to me, that list gets a whole lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
And it is the same way in Deuteronomy 28, and mm-hmm. also I think Isaiah 58. You know, he's going to do all these wonderful things, but if we don't obey, the list of bad things is
twice as long.
It's a whole lot longer.
Mm.
Now, this to me is chronic stress. This is not just distress. I mean, it's distress and chronic stress.
Spectacular stress.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And I just, I think about, you know, what I've been through. And, you know, to me, this is certainly, you know, talking about sin and not obeying, you know, the Torah. And I look at my life and I think, well, gosh, you know, here I've gone through all this, you know, stress and all this stuff in my life. And I mean, I've had a weird life. I've had husbands to die when I was in my 20s and a husband that died in my 20s. And my family's gone and I've worked and worked and worked and worked. And I actually worked, you know, up until July. It seemed there's lots of times in my life I worked two jobs. You know, it just is hard to make it. And so, you know, I think, you know, now things are not, you know, absolutely wonderful for me. And it, you know, here we are in exile. Mm. And we actually cannot keep, you know, all the commands. We keep as many of them as we humanly possibly can. Mm-hmm. We do the very best we can. But, you know, we're still in a situation of punishment. Mm. This was just awful. And, you know, this is going to stand for, you know, when Yehovah comes back. Mm. You know, these words are not passing away. This is still going to be the same thing, you know, when he comes. We need to, you know, obey him. But what an amazing picture of distress and chronic stress for disobedience.
And the difference between good stress and bad stress. And, I mean, it's amazing. So very, very clear.
Amazing, amazing. And, you know, I just want to, before we finish reading, there's just a couple of more verses to read, but I came across, because again, one of the biggest things was I knew in my body what stress was doing to me, and it was really, you know, not a good thing. Well, a man did a National Geographic special on September 23rd, 2008, and the name of it is Killer Stress. I actually forgot to look it up to see if it's on YouTube, but it's probably on National Geographic website or on YouTube, called Killer Stress. And and that's what he wanted to do. He said, now scientists are showing us just how measurable and dangerous prolonged exposure to stress can be. Stanford University neurobiologist MacArthur, who got a MacArthur Genius Grant. We talked about Bonnie Bassler. She got a MacArthur Genius Grant. And the renowned author Robert Sapolsky revealed new answers to how and why chronic stress is threatening to our lives. And it's sounds like a really, really good documentary that was done by National Geographic, you know, to watch. So I think that's really, really interesting.
Well, while you're talking about that, something else occurred to me and just I'm just going to try and look this up now. It's something that I saw recently on a Facebook page, and it was in regards to I'm just going to find it.
Well, while you're doing that, you go ahead and look for that, and I'll read this real quick.
Okay.
Common effects of stress on your body can be headache, muscle tension or pain, chest pain, which is referred to as angina, fatigue, change in sex drive, stomach upset, and sleep problems. It actually can cause more than that, but that's just some of the common effects. On your mood, stress can cause anxiety, restlessness, lack of motivation or focus, irritability or anger, sadness or depression. And on your behavior, and I feel like I had this, overeating or undereating. I'm one of those people that if I'm happy, I overeat, and if I'm sad, I overeat, and if I'm stressed, I overeat, and if I'm not stressed, I overeat. I love to eat. I love to cook. But anyway, on your behavior, it can cause also angry outbursts, drug or alcohol abuse, tobacco use, and or social withdrawal.
What I'm looking at is from the Facebook page Unbelievable Facts, and this is just one of the things that they had on recently, and it stuck in my mind. And there's a picture there of somebody with blood on their skin, and underneath there's the explanation. It says too much stress combined with high blood pressure. Too much stress and high blood pressure can lead to a condition called hematidriosis, which a person sweats blood. I mean, there's an exceptional and an extreme case of bad stress, I suppose, and in the combination with high blood pressure, and these are the kind of symptoms that one can have.
Yes, it's just awful. It's amazing.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, because I think that our lives today, you know, what can you do? You know, not everybody can just quit their job and, you know, or you know, get all the money they need, or, you know, all those things. But I think there are things we can change. And I think sometimes we don't, you know, sit down and have, you know, productive noodling sessions with people around us, you know, to say, you know, what can I do? And, you know, like people say, I don't have time to exercise. Well, you know, I'm not even really talking about exercise. Can you go out and walk around the block? You know, I'm talking 5 minutes, you know, just get out, walk around the block, get out of your surroundings. You know, if you want to be alone, if you want your spouse to go with you.
So what you're talking about, Deb, is some healthy activity that will assist in our outlook, thereby change our perception of that which... now, just give us the quote again that you gave us at the beginning of the program.
People are disturbed not by a thing, but by their perception of a thing.
Of a thing. And if you can change your perception of the thing, then suddenly the mountain becomes a hill, becomes a mound, and you can get over it. But because this is the thing, you know, things do become mountains, and our perception is that they are mountains, and we feel lost in them, and our stress levels just continue to remain very, very high. But what you're saying is so true. If you can get outside and get a little bit of sun each day, get outside and get some sun, breathe some fresh air, maybe do some walking just to get your cardiovascular system a little bit of a workout. And it doesn't even have to be a great deal of exercise, but I mean, vitamin D is. I mean, Nehemiah was telling us, you know, that while he's in China, the pollution levels in China are so great that they don't even get he doesn't feel the sun on his skin, and he's been taking vitamin D supplements.
Right. I take them every day myself, sun or no sun, because I'm older and I don't manufacture vitamin D anymore.
And it's a necessity. And it's a necessity for your
It is.
Outlook, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and honey, picture this, you know, just picture this. You come home from work, you know, you're a little stressed and everything. Say you get, you know, Bill and Jonah, and you say, let's just go walk around the block. And you're just walking around the block. And here, a little dog runs out from the bushes somewhere, and he's all wrapped in tinsel, you know.
Which is another thing that Nehemiah made mention of.
you're going to stop and you're going to point at that dog, and you're going to have a good laugh over that dog that's wrapped in tinsel. But, I mean, you never know when you get out and walk around the block. You never know what you'll see, what you'll do. And certainly if you can, you know, make it a point to laugh every day, you know, the Tanakh tells us that, you know, laughter does our heart good, like a medicine. And I'd rather take laughter than a prescription any day.
Do you know what, Deb? It's a funny thing that you should say that. That's another thing that I remember reading on Unbelievable Facts. They said even a superficial smile, a fake smile, if you just fake a smile, it will make you feel better. It'll lift your spirits, even if you fake it.
Have you seen
this? We know that with the kids, you know, when they're all upset about something and they're just like, and you just sort of tickle them a bit and you go, come on. And then they just start laughing and then it's all over.
There it is.
Yeah, that's the way it is. There's this goofy guy. Some people out there may know who I'm talking about, but there's this goofy guy that he's like the guru of laughter. I think he's from India or somewhere, but he has these laughs. It's not yoga, but it's like laughing yoga. I mean, he gets people together and they just start laughing. And it's fake. When they start, you know, when they start to do it, it's real fake. Mm. But by the time they get into it, everybody's genuinely cracking up laughing.
Oh, and so it's like a breathing exercise. Is that what it is? Is that what it turns out to be?
No, there's laughing.
It's an actual thing. It's called laughter therapy.
Yeah.
Really, laughter therapy. Yes. I remember really, really crackpot sort of, no offense to Nehemiah's mate in China that he met, that whose name was Crackpot. That's another story. But I remember some really bizarre churches. Oh, my goodness. Crazy churches that would do that. Yeah. But they would attribute that to something else. But
different reason,
But there's this guy out there who believes and people pay him, you know, to come and they start laughing and it's
There's one. I'm looking at it now. There's one here in Australia. It's called Laughter Yoga Australia.
Yeah, it's he calls his yoga, but there's no yoga to it. It's just pure. It's just laughing. And when he start, you can tell when he starts out. It's just as fake as it can be, but pretty soon laughter's contagious. So it's that doesn't make the bills go away. That doesn't. But I tell you what, you are able to handle those things so much better if you will take, you know, some time for yourself. If you will take that stroll, doesn't have to. I mean, I'm not talking exercise. I'm talking just a nice stroll around the block. See if you can see a dog wrapped in tinsel. I'm talking about. You know, eating well and, you know, having your kefir, which, you know, definitely affects your nervous system for the positive, very much, you know, affects it. And, you know, doing some of these things, you know, actually, you know, sitting down and finding out what can I do? What do I have time to do? And implementing some of those things in our lives. And I think if we start reading in verse 40, I think there's some answers.
Good. I'm glad. I thought we can't do it justice unless we read the rest of it. Can I read the rest of it?
I think we have answers here in the rest of it.
I think as we start with another, but if, and it says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me and that that they have also walked contrary to me and that I have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and it will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. And they will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet, for all of that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am Yehovah, their God. But for their sake, I will remember my covenant, the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am Yehovah. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which Yehovah made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses.
There it is. There it is. It, you know, and one of the things right here's something very, very healing. Mm-hmm. If you will humble yourself, mm-hmm. you know, we said a while ago that stress can make you lash out in anger. And if you'll stop and you'll humble yourself first, you know, with whoever you're with, that's going to change the situation and diffuse it from stress right there.
That's exactly what I said to Hani this morning. I said, if only this woman on the phone would humble herself and put me onto somebody who knows what they're talking about, then the whole situation would be diffused. That's right.
But also, when the bills are piling up and the baby's crying and the pot's boiling over, you know, he says,
take the pot off the stove. That's probably a good start.
Yeah. Well, now, what is with the people? The you don't have to have the one that whistles anymore.
No.
What is with the whistling one? If anything causes stress, it's that whistle that screams, the world's going to explode unless you take me off the stove now.
That is very stressful.
Not only that, we went looking for a new kettle recently because the old one died after 10 years or whatever it was, and we went looking for a new one. You can get new ones that sit on the, you know, the little electric ones that don't sit on the stove, and they've got the whistle function, and they're electric.
What's with that? That's awful. That's awful.
Do you know
what they call those electric ones in Israel?
What's that?
They call them kumkum. The electric hot pot of water is called a kumkum. Do you know what kum means in Hebrew?
What does it mean?
Rise. Like you're going to raise the temperature. It means rise. So the water rises up and boils, and the temperature of the water rises up. So the little hot kettle is called a kumkum.
Kumkum.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Isn't that cute?
I mean, every day.
I mean, we need to focus, you know, that our God is with us and that he's not. He says, I will not cast them away. I will not abhor them. I am Jehovah, their God. And we can't lose sight of that. You know, we have to stop. And we have to humble ourselves to those around us, and we have to keep in the forefront of our minds all the time that as we go through all this, you know, we have a God that's going through it. He knows every bit of it, and he knows why we're going through it, and we can make it with Him. We can absolutely make it through.
Amen. Amen. Well, there it is. Good stress, bad stress, what Leviticus chapter 26 has to say about it. Thank you for bringing that verse, because that really is a powerful one.
It is.
The whole chapter, Leviticus 26, and it's interesting. Dev, honestly, I was looking at this last week, and I so enjoy it, because I was speaking to a Christian who was saying, you know, of course, we're under the new covenant now, and all of that's done away with, and it's just sort of all allegorical and nice stories and so on and so forth now, but I was... that really frustrated me, the replacement theology of Christianity, and it just so satisfied me to read from verse 40, and I've got so much of it underlined and circled just from last week, from verse 40 to verse 45, verse 46. It really is very very encouraging and very satisfying.
It is. It's. I think it's, you know, just a big giant part of our answer. You know, I mean, we have to take our lives, you know, by the shirt collar and stop and, you know, do something about them. But there's a lot of things we can't change. And so that's, you know, we need to, you know, make sure that we're in the scriptures and that we're, you know, encouraged, you know, by these wonderful answers that Jehovah gives us. And they're so simple. It's so simple. You know, if you'll just obey me.
If you just obey me. And one of the major causes of stress today is health problems. Once again, keep ear, people. If you haven't got any already, you need to contact Deb's sisters. Where's the details of that?
It's Kefir Grains, letter U.blogspot.com. And I actually have that on my website. It's at the very, very top. When you open my website, it says order Kefir Grains here. I send out sometimes if I've got extras. I don't always have extras, but if I have extras, I send them out. But my sisters actually, you know, I want people to know this. They are not in a good financial situation, and you would actually, even though you're buying Kefir Grains, what you're doing is you're giving to the poor and the widows, and so I would encourage people to do that, because that they're just, you know, got not good financial situation, and you know what, they don't let it stress them. Yeah, and they could, because they're in a horrible way, but they made up their mind that Jehovah has his hand on them and that he's not going to let them go. And so they have let go of a lot of stress in their life.
Good, good. And they're supplying Kefir Grains. And
yes.
And so by getting your Kefir Grains from them, you're helping them out as well. And
yes.
It is Kefir Grains for you. Kefir Grains, letter U.blogspot.com. Is that correct?
Yes, and they have water Kefir Grains and milk Kefir Grains.
Ooh, so and they've been sent internationally as well, right?
Yes, they do. They sure do.
There it is. Okay, well, there's as I said, a lot of stress can come from your own physical and health conditions. Kefir, as we've always said, is an excellent and mighty step forward in the right direction to overcoming those. We've been speaking with The Cultured Karaite. Cultured Karaite and the Facebook group that I mentioned before, that article, you will find it there. So you need to go and join the Cultured Karaite group to find that and so much more information. Cultured Karaite on Facebook. And of course, Deb, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you. We always have so much fun.
Don't we though? Don't we though? Thank you, Hani. And until next time, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.